Welcome to Binary Jazz. It's a podcast about things, starring us. I'm Chris, Jazz Sequence on the Internet. I'm joined, as always, by Gary, who's Binary Gary on the Internet, and Allison, who is Allison Plus on the Internet, and we make a podcast wherein Allison generally gives us topics. Gary and I try to identify and name and describe said topics, probably getting them wrong. We don't know what the topics in advance, but we try to talk about them anyway. That's how the show works. We've been here for so many years that we lost count. You should know the drill.
We barely know the drill, but
we barely know the drill. I thought it was quite a revelation, and I will apologize to our listeners who may not have had the benefit of the podcaster note I added to the episode last episode, which was not last week, wherein I fully and humbly apologize for our complete failure in recognizing the turnover of the year between 2020 and 2021, such that we just had a really long season three. because those 2 years just naturally blended together, and who knows what day it is today.
I think of all the timelines, that's the mushiest year. So,
yeah, I mean, who can blame us, really?
Us, we can.
I love
blame
that.
We can blame ourselves. That's who. Yeah,
I love that it happened, and then also that like we didn't realize in the year until we got
right.
Until, like, the
it
end,
wasn't
and, like,
until
like, wait.
It wasn't
that,
until a year later.
Wrong to anybody
full,
else?
A full like, year later.
When I do the calculations from the first episode until now, something doesn't happen. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say that throughout the course of the pandemic thus far, I feel like we've all sort of handled it, you know, in admirable ways as we've needed. And I think that's just a great, like, reflection of, like, yeah, like, holy shit. Like, things aren't great generally. So it's okay. Okay.
At least we didn't skip ahead.
Who cares? Season 17.
That would be also pretty par for the course and with Binary Jazz.
I feel like that's a good segue into this week's topic.
Excellent. We have a segue.
That's cool.
Which is thought terminating cliches.
Thought terminating.
Things like never is never absolute feels like a thought terminating cliche. But I don't know that's actually a thing that is that a cliche thing people say?
He needs a little thing over it. Is the E, does the thing go forward or backwards in cliche?
It goes like a mountain.
Oh, it's that thing. I thought it was a tilde.
Like the beginning of a mountain.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
I don't know what forward or back means. I guess
that's
forward.
Yeah.
Forward?
Yeah, forward.
Because you could still be going forward, but then you're going down the mountain.
That's true. I guess I was thinking leaning forward or backward.
I love the ease at which you were able to access all the letter modifiers or whatever.
Well, you know, Gary, on a Mac, if you hold down the key, the letter of that you're trying to get the accent marks on, it will show you the options.
No, clearly I did not know that.
Well,
I had no idea. Hold
you.
On.
Yeah.
Let me go to like anywhere in this operating system.
Yeah.
Like I can even do it in.
Yeah,
oh.
Sure.
Oh, that's.
Yeah.
Something I'll immediately forget.
It's very handy, especially when you're dealing with French clients.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I like to spell people's names properly. And I'm just like, this really is, I'm butchering people's names without it.
I copy
and paste.
Terminating...
There's like a decorator like that. Like that, I copy and paste their name because I'm so afraid of like, I'm not going to type it wrong. I constantly feel bad when I do that, you know? It's like such a diminishing thing to do.
Is thought terminating hyphenated or is it two separate words?
Hyphenated. Hyphenated. Good question.
I just want to make sure that I'm putting the topic in.
And then cliche is a separate word. Yeah.
Yeah.
So oh, it's hold a on. Let me update that.
It's
what happens cliches. If I hold down something else? Oh, it just repeats. Does it work with other letters?
It works with all the letters that have accents. So if it's a letter that doesn't have accents, then it's not going to do it.
Well, hold on. Let's see what letters have accents as I type here.
Vowels.
I mean, vowels, but.
Yeah.
C, S's. I mean, it depends, yeah. I guess, but. O's. O's are vowels.
Oh, L has an option with like a slashy through it.
Yep.
Damn, I'm going to have some weird variable names today, aren't I?
Yeah, maybe I should do that with my name. Just get real.
Ooh, Z's.
Real funky with my, how people be like, I think we were spelling your name wrong.
I did one of those, all the kids on the Discord server that I have change their names to like, they go to those like online weird character generator sites or whatever to like, you know, get all the weirdest characters for their names. And then they change their name to something completely like weird bizarre that like
generator
that like is not their name. And then it makes it really hard to know who's who. But anyway, so I did that with Jazz Sequence a long time ago. So it's like all like squiggly letters. That's probably really horrible for accessibility.
Obviously, our preference would be lingojam.com if we had to choose.
Is it? Would it be?
I don't know. It's the first one that showed up. I have no idea. It seems sufficient for the purposes.
Lingo.
It's a lot of funky fonts.
Jam.com. Where you can create your own translator. Create a translator.
Oh, cute. There's one with a bumblebee on it. Oh, and a donut.
Donut.
Fancy text generator. English we skipped Shakespearean. Donuts this weekend. Yoda translator.
Because
why?
Well, the snow.
Oh.
Saturday is traditionally our donut day, and I couldn't. I mean, I probably could have driven in it, but
it's more fun to enjoy it.
Yeah, the city was pretty emphatic about like you know. You know that GIF from, maybe like the first few episodes of The Good Place. Where, the head demon is like, nobody panics in your homes and like everything's on fire behind him.
Yeah.
That was the city about like the black ice conditions that they sent their plows out to take care of. Plows, I think I mentioned this last time, maybe not plows, plural here, because there are literally two.
Oh, I was gonna say, I was like, that's impressive.
Yeah, there might be more than two, but when it really snowed heavily, like I'm like, all right kids, we're driving downtown to see the snow, like despite what the city says, in our little all-wheel drive, you know.
Our area had a like expose about the snow routes this most recent battering of snow, because basically there's like priority routes, so it's like A, B, C, D, E, and like in order of priority of as far as roads and highways and stuff. But the problem is that they reset when it snows again. So basically they go back to A, B, C, and then so like D, E, F, those roads never get plowed and people are complaining and it was like this whole thing. And then now they're like reworking the system. But just that I was just like, yep, this is a small town. Like
that's awesome. we saw both of ours. One of them was trying to, like it had reached the end of the area that it was supposed to plow and was trying to turn around. In a two-lane road, but extremely wide, you know, parking on the sides and no cars out. So I was trying to turn around. It was hysterical.
It's not the job.
I kept it like about 8 miles an hour or so. And then the rain started to come. And I'm like, well, we're going home, kids. We've had our fun.
Thought-terminating cliches. Thought-terminating, I think I can wrap my head around. But cliche is about things that are thought-terminating.
Yeah, I feel like the idea is like right there, but it's hard to define, right? It's going to take some work.
So
let's not what I show up here.
I know that you've used them and you've heard them.
Yeah.
So let's think about something that is thought terminating. Is thought terminating, would that mean like
let's start on the cliche side.
No,
No.
That is the worst way of coming to the... I mean, you can do whatever you want, Gary.
As I often do. Everything's bigger in Texas. That feels like a thought terminating cliche, because when someone says that, I think I don't want
to. There's talk nothing that comes out of the conversation. That. Yeah, it just ends.
Yeah,
it just
it's
stops.
Over. Yeah. 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 Maybe it's a conversation terminating cliche. I don't dislike Texas. I just dislike people that say that.
Yeah, well, that's what I feel like thought terminating is like that moment where you hear a statement or have a thought, and that's it. That's the end. Like, there's nothing comes after this.
Are they like, I wonder if they're like cliches that like actually don't make sense, but we just know what they mean and we don't even bother considering them. Like, there is no thought because we just all have like collectively decided what they mean, but they're actually stupid.
name one
example of that. Yeah,
please give us an example of a stupid cliche.
It's bigger in Texas. What would be a good one?
Nothing better than thoughtful silence on a podcast.
Yeah,
right.
Really compelling. If you enjoy your job, you never have to work a day in your life, right? Like,
oh.
That's one where it's like on the surface, you're like, yeah, okay. And you don't think about it. When you think about it, you're like, no, that sounds really sucky. Like, then I'm just monetizing my hobby and ouch, you know? So yeah, like something like that, I think possibly could be thought terminating, because it's like everyone accepts it for what it means on the surface, but it's actually not really a useful cliche. Another one might be, cue more silence here. And Chris, you'll just edit this in post, so that's fine.
Sure. Yeah, you know all the work that I do for post production this show.
We have lots of spare time, all of us.
Extensive.
Well, spare time might be one. Like, do we have extra? No, there's none to spare. Like, literally, this is all we have is the current. Well, that's depressing. That's not actually. Thought terminating.
That's a thought depressing cliche.
Thought depressing cliche.
Yeah.
Whole other category.
Could you all hear that?
I heard something.
It sounded like a herd of like animals running past. Well, that'll make for
I did not hear
video and audio. Yeah. They come running up the stairs. Speaking of herds of animals, here's a total sidebar conversation.
I thought terminating.
Turns out we you know, like, we have a lot of like wooded area around us, so, and it's been cold, and so we discovered a box that a mouse had been chewing on in our house. Oh god, gross. Ugh. So I bought humane mouse traps that I catch them in. I'm at 3 so far.
Mm-hmm.
In 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one I'm like, oh cool. The second one, I'm like, oh, and the third one, I'm like, fuck, this is a thing.
They're the sort of catch and release kind of traps, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a two,
like a little box.
And they step in, it closes.
Yeah, we've got those.
Yeah.
So they say
they like peanut butter.
They say that if you release the mouse mm-hmm. anywhere within like 2 miles of where you caught it, it will just come back.
That is what I read online. So yeah. When I, the first two, I yeeted them down the hill to like a safe spot. I didn't actually know that I was yeeting them, but I was informed by my oldest that I was yeeting them down the hill. I actually kind of traipsed down there with a bucket and kind of lobbed them.
I have a question. Are we sure that there are actually 3 different ones?
Well, that was sort of the subtext of
So this morning, yes, we are not sure of this. Okay. I'm still counting the mystery, but it could have been the same one 3 times. But honestly, if it is, like, I don't believe it is, because that mouse is extremely smart to come back here and extremely dumb to go right back.
Get back into that peanut butter.
I mean, it's got peanut butter. It's hard to pass.
So yeah, this morning, we drove a mile, because there is a lot between that park and here that it would have to go past. So I don't know.
I mean, that's a children's book. I'd read it.
Yeah, we go to a nearby like open space kind of park area to release the mice that we catch.
And you make sure it's more than 2 miles away, or no?
I don't know that. I'm not positive it's 2 miles away, but it's like, you know, it's by a creek and there's a big hill and like residential place. Like it's much more, you know, I mean, I guess nicer is relative. If nice to you as a mouse is someplace warm and dry and sheltered, it's probably not nicer. But it is definitely more wild, and presumably they're, you know, able to make friends with their other mice or otherwise get eaten by a hawk, you know, one way or the other.
Well, that was my thought process. I don't want to be responsible for them out here where like my crazy neighbor across the street's cats can get them. That doesn't seem like a fair fate.
But you also have cats.
Yeah, we have. Well, that's another story. We have the one indoor cat, Georgia, who's been with us for a while. We have a quasi adopted cat, Pumpkin, street name.
There is, for those of you who are listening who are not privy to our internal Slack, there was a Slack thread about the street name of cats, and so there's a whole like discussion about the street name of Pumpkin and that this is really like, you know, he's like, you know, has a hardcore cat name, which is Pumpkin, and he's, you know, got spiked collar, and
his Canadian name is still Gord, though.
He's I love that. I'm gonna when he moves in here, I'm gonna call him Gordo a lot, because it will both annoy my family and make me happy.
Anywho,
and I will definitely apply Canadian isms to him. Gordo, how you doing, eh? And yes, so Gordo went to the vet on, was it Saturday? I don't even know what day. Maybe Friday, I'm not sure. In any case, it was earlier than that. But Gordo had not pooped, and they were not able to capture anything to test for worms.
Mm.
Gordo does have worms, but not, I don't know what kind. Something very innocuous that doesn't affect humans, but also like keep him isolated until he's treated with this thing and D-worm. See him in 3 weeks. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Probably in high demand right now to prevent COVID
of some variety. Sure.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Our cat
you should definitely keep those pills or juice or whatever it is.
I should see what I can sell them for online. Probably cover the cost of taking to the vet. So in any case, he's isolated in the basement for 3 more weeks. So not only do we have a cat inside that actually helped expose that there was a mouse, because she was like, you know, this cabinet, we're like, what's going on? And then we poked around in there and found a chewed on box. We're like, oh, okay. But there's a cat in the basement. So you would figure between the two of them, you as a mouse, you would probably find somewhere else to be. So I tell you what,
we were watching
TV last night, and these traps are not loud. Like they're not like the old style, terrible snappy ones, but they're not quiet either. So we're sitting there watching TV. We hear like a clank from the kitchen. It took like a second. We're both like, oh, what in there? And I mean, they're freaking adorable is the problem too. You know, I mean, imagine the mice you see at like when you go to like PetSmart or whatever. And there's one sitting there like, you know, beautiful and wide eyed, like curious, looking at me like, well, this is quite a predicament.
Do I still get to keep the peanut butter?
Yeah.
I mean, the answer is yes.
Yeah. So anyway, this morning it was out of that container into a bucket. Katie and I drove about a mile away, got out, plopped it down into the grass, and it was like, this is new, you know? And then we drove home. So I have on the whiteboard in the fridge, I have my mouse counter. I'm hoping that 3 was the number, and I'm hoping that was actually the same one 3 times. That'd be fantastic. But I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's how mice work. I think they work like rabbits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We've seen mice on our deck, so we know that there's mice around as well as rats. But I don't have my traps set currently, but we've caught like, I don't know, 5 between because our Juniper, other other cats don't care about mice, but Juniper does. Mm. And Juniper, who's our youngest, will absolutely like chase down the mouse, and like, because it's a toy, like, you know, she plays with it. So like we came home from a trip one time and there's a dead mouse in our room. And another time she was like chasing something that ran under the china cabinet, and there's a mouse there. And then another time we saw her with a mouse in her mouth playing with it. And other times she has just alerted us to there being mice like under the stove or by the stove or behind mm-hmm. the stove or something. So yeah, like it's good to have a cat that can recognize that there are mice, perhaps.
Yeah, agreed. 100% agreed. And thank you, Georgia, for alerting us to this. And, you know, I guess we'll see how it goes. I'm wondering if 4 traps is enough set up around the house. I don't know.
I only have 2. I just reset them in like the 2 places that I know that I've seen them. Or rather, the one place that I've seen them, and then the one place where there is very obviously mouse poop.
I guess it's like a cold weather thing too. Like they're I'm not interested in being outside, and I don't blame them. Like it was fun to go out and play in the snow, and then it got cold.
Yeah.
Oh shit! I wonder if I left a little portable heater on in the basement. I should check that. Let me set a reminder on that.
That'll help the mice. Self-terminating cliches are cliches that terminate thoughts. You know, the name thought-terminating cliches effectively terminates all thought that I have inside my brain. So that could be a thought-terminating cliche.
What are some more cliches, though? Like, the book by its cover thing is a cliche, right? Is that thought-terminating? I don't think that it is.
List of cliches.
Yes. Google it.
Internet's best list of cliches.
Lycos. Doug Pyle. AltaVista. Yahoo.
Read between the lines.
Yandex. What else are some other search engines? What did I miss?
Don't judge a book by its cover as an idiom, not a cliche.
Oh, but it's listed in this list of cliches. You can't judge a book by its cover.
What makes it an idiom? Like what? Maybe I don't know the difference between an idiom and a cliche.
Yeah, now we're getting down the rabbit hole. What is a cliche? What is an idiom? Mm-hmm. Idiom is a group of words established by usage as having a meaning mm-hmm. not deducible mm-hmm. from those of the individual words.
Mm-hmm. So like if you're saying, if you feel like you're feeling under the weather, you're not literally under
water. Yes. Yeah. If it's raining cats and dogs, it's not literally raining cats and dogs. A cliche is a phrase or opinion that is overused and betrays a lack of original thought. That's an excellent definition. Thank you, Oxford Languages.
Damn. That dictionarian was brutal writing that one.
Yeah.
That was a Monday morning definition, if there ever was one. Oh, God.
Wikipedia says a cliché is a French loanword expressing an element of an artistic work, saying, or idea that has become overused to the point of losing its original meaning or effect, even to mm-hmm. the point of being trite or irritating, especially when mm-hmm. at some earlier time it was considered meaningful or novel.
Well, now I'm going to think about everything I say and be like, is that a cliche? Yeah. Like,
I mean, everything.
Complete lack of creativity.
Yeah. Okay. So here's some cliches that are on this list. It's read between the lines, play your cards right. It's an uphill battle. Better safe than sorry. You can't judge a book by its cover. Bring to the table low hanging fruit. The grass mm-hmm. is always mm-hmm. greener on the other side. And ignorance is bliss.
I think all of those juice is not worth the squeeze.
I use low hanging fruit a lot.
I feel like all of these I mean, I guess your earlier definition of it's a cliche that does not show, what did you say? Something to the effect of like, it doesn't show, it doesn't, if you think about it, then it makes no sense at all. I think that applies to all of those.
On the surface, there is like an understood meaning, but when you
dig into
critical reasoning to it, you're like, this is dumb.
Yeah. I think that applies to all of it. I think that maybe applies to the definition of a cliche. So I think that can't be what a thought terminating cliche is.
Because all cliches are thought terminating.
Well, I mean, yeah, that would be the logical conclusion, obviously.
I apologize. This podcast might even be like listener terminated. They're like, well, on to the next one. Skip. Can we get an official definition?
For sure.
Okay.
So it has been around for a while, gained popularity in the 1960s. It's basically used often in the psychology of mind control, but also in cults, as well as just like everyday life. And it basically a semantic stop sign. So it's the kind of language used to suppress dissent and then in the discussion, while often like boasting positivity. So an example of like, it is what it is. It ends the conversation. And if you push further, you're basically going to lead to like some sort of painful social rejection, essentially.
Dibs on that band name.
Boys will be
social
boys.
Social rejections.
Like
painful social rejection.
Or even maybe take that offline. So like if you wanted to discuss something further and people are like, maybe just stop, like, let's just, here we go again.
I ran into that on a call the other day and about rage quit. So pissed someone dropped that on me.
Which one?
You take that offline.
Well, and it's like, obviously context matters, and that's one of the more important things, but basically like it's suggesting that engaging in the discussion will be pointless. Hmm. So it just really, really crunches it down.
Yeah, which is like how the boys will be boys thing is mm-hmm. is used. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's often used in reference to communist China. But I came across it in a wonderful book called Cultish, which is all about the language of cults and indoctrination, which I would recommend. It's really good.
Speaking of cults,
Cultish.
So we're all part of the capitalist system here. Yes. And I promised that I would share my act of capitalism, consumerism.
Oh yeah, what is is this where we all judge you?
Yeah, feel free. Yeah, because I'm actually still kind of trying to level with it. I bought a new TV yesterday for the second time ever in my life. We've been using hand-me-downs. At one point, we bought one because it was our local CompUSA, back when they actually had physical locations, was going out of business. So I bought a TV there.
CompUSA, I haven't even thought about that.
So CompUSA had non-physical locations?
What's that?
CompUSA had non-physical locations?
Towards the end.
Well, yeah. Well, this was a physical location, yeah. Because they were headquartered
I wasn't aware that they had anything other than physical locations.
For quite a while, even like up to like 15 years ago, they had their web presence, along with physical locations. But yeah, they were pretty big online, yeah. Hmm. But then Tiger Direct, of course, purchased them.
But I'm not going to shame you for buying a TV.
I feel shame for buying a TV.
Well,
I would shame you maybe for buying like 10 TVs.
Hold on. How big is it?
It's big. It's 55 inches.
I will shame you for buying a 55 inch TV.
Yeah.
Do you need all 55 inches?
I will tell you that it was replacing a 32 inch TV.
Yeah.
I will tell you that.
Did you need the extra 20 inches?
What does that mean?
I know. That's the shameful part. I didn't need it. The other one, there was no problem with it. But I was sitting there on
the
couch
next
going,
size
having trouble reading.
That's true.
From 55?
Yeah. Because I think there's quite a big jump in
and
TV.
I took out my tape measure and said, what would fit here? And so what would fit there was a I looked at like the biggest that would fit there, right? I didn't go for the smallest, I went for the biggest. So like I looked at 50s and 55s, and 55 made the most sense from like a cost per inch pixel dense, because of course I calculated that, who doesn't? But it made the most sense to go that way. And then if this one lasts as long as the last one did, then cool. We can talk about it in 17 years or whatever.
I'm not sure that our TV exceeds 30 inches. I'm not positive.
It feels decadent, and it feels really easy to read. Yeah. I mean, 32 to 55, like it's almost four times the size because they measure diagonally. It's
right.
It's pretty crazy. It's not. And like Tyler was like, can I turn the Xbox on? And I'm like, sure, go for it. And he's like, whoa. Because apparently, here's some technical stuff. It's 4K, which I guess is like all you can get in TVs these days. Mm-hmm. And the last one was like 720. It was HD, but it was 720, like lower HD. Or I don't know. So I'm like, I'm not going to be able to tell the difference. Like I have bad eyesight, but I can actually tell the difference. It's a lot easier to read things on it. So
ours is.
But also, it feels so wasteful.
Ours is,
can't wait to watch The Matrix on it.
Ours is 4K. It's like 10, 20, 1050, whatever that number is. 1040. Mm. I guess it's 1040.
1080.
1080. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Sure. Yes.
And I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think I noticed the difference. I definitely noticed the difference when there's something that is fewer pixels. That it like an old DVD or something, you notice that it's a different quality.
Gary, if you start buying TVs every year, we'll stage an intervention. But I feel like every 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, we've had this thing that we have now for
is appropriate.
Okay.
Well, and the thing is that like the last TV that we had was like somebody else that we knew was getting rid of it because they got a new TV. And so like, well, sure, we'll get this big TV. And then when that one died or when we decided to get a new one, we bought another thing and it was like, you know, reasonably sized, Gary.
Yeah. I was definitely on the team of hand-me-down TVs when we were first married. We bought one of Rhonda's like workmates was selling an old like CRT. Mm-hmm. 30 something inches. It was big. It felt big. I don't know how big it was, but it felt big and it weighed a lot because it was an old CRT. It was huge. You know, I mean, I could barely move the thing. And so they were like selling it for, I don't know, $40 or something. And it was bigger than like we literally had a black and white when we got married, and it was bigger than that. So we're like, well, okay, yeah, we could spend $40 on the TV. And that TV lasted us for a very long time. And so someone was like, hey, we're getting rid of this flat panel TV. Would you like it? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, sure. So thus we were out of the CRT world. And then it wouldn't turn off. Oh no, I lied. That CRT had a problem where when you turn it off, it wouldn't turn off. So like it would like the screen would turn off and like go to like a little bright white light in the middle. But then it would start hissing really loud.
Nice.
Which was fine. And then you would thump the top of it and then it would finish turning off and it was cool. Fine. Which was okay.
Banging the top of things is always, always good.
Well, it's like, and it's a total Fonz move. So you make me feel cool.
Well, then we had Tyler. So like 12 years old, this TV was, or 12 years ago, this was. And so I would bang the top of the TV, turn off. Well, I couldn't do that when he was sleeping, obviously, because it was loud.
Yep.
And so that was when we replaced that one. And I think that one, like, died, and then someone gave us a hand-me-down, and the hand-me-down is what we replaced.
I think that so. Well, when Aaron and I first got married, we had a TV VCR that I think was from my dorm room, and probably I didn't buy it either. That was probably something that I had acquired somehow. Probably fell off the back of a truck or something. And then after a while, I think we got rid of that, or I don't know what happened to that exactly, but we were living without a TV for a long time and just using the computers because we didn't actually use a TV for being a TV ever, until the kids were born, and then like, hey, we need a, you know, built-in babysitter.
Ah, yes, but now you have iPads, so you don't need a TV.
Yeah,
an iPad. I say that jokingly, but
we're past that, so. I'm glad that that is not the child care that we were using. I remember seeing some kids being babysat by iPads at a unschooling conference that we went to, and I was just like, I'm not like I would not be okay with that. I have no idea what they're watching. They don't have any idea what they're watching. They're probably watching really weird shit. YouTube is bad about kids.
Yeah. YouTube is definitely not like just unlimited access. We do a lot of content curation for Charlotte, and her screen time is very limited. But even still, there's like that. What is that?
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Special thanks to Serpiente Negra Ensemble for the use of their tracks for our intro and outro music. You can find them online at serpientenegra.bandcamp.com. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.